Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to begin this morning by reading some selected portions from Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham is the father of many nations. Abraham is the father of a multitude, a large number of people all throughout history. Abraham is their father. Abraham is our father if we, like Abraham, are people who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is the father of a blessed nation, of a multitude of people from every kindred and nation and tongue and people who will one day gather around the throne of God and be received up into glory to enjoy the presence of God and the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we shall know even as we are known. That promise is to those who, like Abraham, are his children, because we also have been given by the Holy Spirit faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been trying to see over the last few weeks, well, if Abraham is the father of the faithful, and we, like Abraham, we are supposed to be like our father by walking in faith toward Jesus Christ, well, then what does it mean to be a person of faith? What does faith look like? And we have mostly keyed on two thoughts. One of the thoughts that has been the dominant theme of this series has been that Abraham, when he was called to leave, he separated himself from his life and all that his life entailed to that point. He went out away from idolatry. He went out away from planning his own future. He left his ambitions. He left his home. He left his kindred, and he followed Jesus. He followed God. Ultimately, he followed Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, we'll get to this more in another sermon, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Abraham saw Jesus Christ's day, he hoped in Jesus Christ's day, he saw Jesus Christ's day, and he rejoiced and was glad. So Abraham ultimately was pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see in coming days. Abraham's faith was in Jesus Christ, not just some unknown figure, not just some unknown hope, or some vain wish, but Abraham's faith was based upon the Lord, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we emphasize, having faith means that you leave to follow. You forsake your own wisdom. You forsake your own lust. You forsake your own dreams. You forsake all to follow Jesus Christ. And this is not a necessarily a physical forsaking, but it's a spiritual forsaking. We leave that which would drive us away from Christ to pursue Jesus Christ. We forsake worldly wisdom. We forsake worldly thinking. We forsake worldly people in order to follow Jesus Christ. And so the second part of this has been that Abraham sojourned. He had a mindset that he was not bound to this earth. We didn't read this in Hebrews 11, but Hebrews 11 details this. If he had wanted to, he could have returned back to his former life and the permanence of his former life, the long family history and the familiar houses and the familiar city and the familiar setting. But Abraham forsook that and he embraced a sojourning mindset. To sojourn means that you recognize that you are a foreign individual in a foreign land. You don't belong to the land that you live in. You have a different citizenship, a different home, a home that is not of this world. And so walking in faith means that you are walking with a very loose grip on all the things of life. That does not mean that you live irresponsibly. That does not mean that you don't care about what happens in this world. No, we desperately care about, or we definitely care about what happens in this world because we know that this world belongs to God. And so we want to use our time in this world in a valuable way, dedicating our talents, our gifts, our life to the glory of God. What happens in this life matters, but what happens in this life matters as it relates to eternity, right? What happens in this world matters as it relates to eternity. What happens in this world doesn't matter as it relates to just the here and now. And so many people get caught up in the here and now and they only live for this life, laying up treasures for this life and putting all their hopes in this life. But we live differently if we are of faith. If we are of faith, we are always looking towards a better place, a better country. So we're not disillusioned. When things go wrong here, we're not surprised when sin reigns here. We're not despondent when we lose here. Because we understand that all of this experience here is meant to, what? Shape us and frame us and prepare us for a better dwelling, a better country. So brothers and sisters, just quickly throw out, how much do you live with a sojourning mindset? I'm looking for something better. I'm content with what God has provided, and yet there's a certain stirring and groaning in my soul for something to be made right, for the sin nature to be eradicated, and for me to see and dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, I want to look at the third part of what the New Testament describes as the nature of Abraham's faith. And I want you to be encouraged by this morning's message to persevere in faith. So what we're going to look at this morning, let me just briefly lay out, is we're going to look at the how of faith. How is faith lived out? How is faith worked out in life? The how long of faith? The how long of faith, a very important consideration to understand if we're going to understand faith. And then the who of faith. So the how long, and the who. Who is our faith in? What is our faith grounded in? It's incredibly important that we understand these three factors of what faith, what it means to live a life of faith. The how long, and the who. Who is faith in? And so Scripture gives us a lot of help in understanding the how and the how long and the who of faith. Faith, by its very nature, is a strange thing. Let's read this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Before I read that, though, let me remind you of what Hebrews 11 says about Abraham's faith. In verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out, called by God to go out, he obeyed. Verse 8, and he went out not knowing whither he went. There's a very important aspect of faith that is laid out in that verse. Abraham, in a certain sense, blindly steps out. Now, that's a wrong word. He's not blindly stepping out. Some people believe that faith means you just sort of blindly walk. Just sort of blindly step out on a vain hope and a vain wish. Sometimes people say, you know, an individual's trying real hard for some task. Well, just have faith. Well, that's a blind hope, right? The reality is, and I don't want to burst your bubbles this morning, but the reality is that you can't necessarily accomplish whatever you want to accomplish in life, right? You may want to dunk a basketball with a 10-foot goal, and you may never be able to do that. And you can drum up all the supposed faith in the world. I believe I can fly. And it won't do you any good, right? Unless you are given the God-given muscles and the God-given height and whatever else that would enable you to jump 10 feet. So faith is not just blind, but faith is, in a sense, blind. He's walking out following something he doesn't see, can't see. And he's not sure where he's going. So there's a very important understanding of the how of faith right here. What is faith made of? Verse 1 of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there in verse 1, we're going to hear a lot about this in the next 2 weeks because of Camp Moriah. The theme of Camp Moriah is foundations. The foundation of a structure is the most important part of that structure. If you don't have a good foundation, you will not have a good structure. Jesus teaches this when he teaches about the man who built his house upon a rock. And the other man built his house upon sand. And when the storms came, they both had built a good house. They both had used good craftsmanship in building the upper part of their house. But when the storm came, one man's house stood stable. The other man's house fell flat. Why? Because their foundations were different. Right? So what the how of faith is what? You're building a foundation. Listen to this. You're building a foundation on something you cannot see. That's faith. Faith is trusting, relying upon, depending on, building your life on something you can't see. That's what it says. Faith is the substance, is the foundation, is the support. It is the assurance of something you can't see. Now, if that doesn't shake you just a little bit, you're not thinking yet. You're not thinking. We all want something sure to base our lives on. You put your money into a bank, and that bank is known for going bankrupt and swindling its customers. You will not put your money in that bank, will you? Because you know it's uncertain. You know it's unsure. You know you're likely to lose. Well, faith says, I'm going to build my life. I'm going to put all my marbles in on something I can't see. And something I can't see is all the the last part of the verse, something I can't see is all the evidence I need. So I have a support, a foundation, and I have all the evidence. And you say, well, where's the evidence? Show me the evidence. And you say, I cannot show you the evidence. That's faith. Scripture contrasts faith to what? Sight, right? You see, the Bible's not dishonest about this. The Bible tells you, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ in this life, you're going to follow someone you cannot see. And you say, is that enough evidence? And the only way that you have that will be sufficient evidence for you to leave all and cede control of your life, give up control of your life, To say, Lord, I follow you. Take my hands, take my feet, take my mind, take my children, take my family, take my ambitions. And Lord, I'm going to put them all into your hands. I'm going to cede control of all these things in order to follow you. If you're going to do that, the Holy Spirit must have given the evidence that this is true to your heart, or you will never do it, right? Right? So Scripture contrasts faith by sight. And here in the story of Abraham, we have this same contrast given in two different individuals. Abraham walked by faith. Who walked by sight in the story? Starts with the L. Lot, right? Lot is journeying with his uncle Abraham. And the very first episode of Faith and Sight, as Lot is journeying with Abraham, they come upon a problem. They have gotten too much riches, and their servants are beginning to fight over the best land. And so Abraham offers Lot the first choice in picking the land. I'm going to read to you, I'm not going to turn to the scriptures, I'm going to read to you some words that are contained in the scriptures that are in Genesis that describe Lot. Okay? Start with Genesis 13, verse 10. Here's what happens. Just write these words down. Lot saw. S-A-W. He saw. What is that? That's sight, right? Lot saw. Later in this chapter, it says, Lot chose. Lot chose. We're building up here. Lot chose based upon what Lot saw. You get that? Lot chose based upon what he saw. Then it says, Lot dwelled. He saw, he chose, he dwelled. Now let me give you a little bit of background if you're not familiar with scriptures. The best land was towards, close to, a city called Sodom, where Sodomites reigned in that city. It was a land of great riches, but a city of great riches, but also a city of great sinfulness. We in our day see this increasing ascent of sodomy and sodomites in the land. Well, Lot wasn't desiring to go live in a land of sodomites. What Lot desired, though, was a life of comfort and a life of wealth. He was walking by sight. And so he saw this land near Sodom is good. He chose the land near Sodom. And next thing you see, he is dwelling in Sodom. Dwell. He saw, he chose, he dwelled, and it says he pitched. I think the word dwell actually there was used for he dwelled towards Sodom. And then he's pitching his tent in Sodom. He is putting down stakes is the idea. He is getting as permanent as a tabernacle dwelling could be back then. He is pitching his stakes. I am staying right here. His life is built upon sight. What will be good for me? He saw, he chose, he dwelled, he pitched. The next word is he sat. Where was he sitting? He was sitting in the gate of Sodom. He's there. He's fully integrated. His life is made up in Sodom. This is where he lives. The man who stands at the gate were the respected men of the city. Lot has a place of respect in Sodom. What a thought, guys. Let me give you two more words. Or three more words. Married. Married. Now it's not just affecting Lot. His daughters are married to the men of Sodom. These men who would not even protect their wives when these creeps came in to kill the angels. Married. His whole family's affected now. Two more words. Salt. Salt. S-A-L-T. His wife now is turned into a pillar of salt. As Lot is rescued out of Sodom, and yet so many riches that they had accumulated there, so much pleasure had accumulated there, that his wife turns back in longing. And here is the man who was supposed to protect his wife and to care for his wife and provide for his wife. He watches as his wife is consumed, is transformed into a dead pillar of salt. And then here's this man who's been rich. There's the last word. The word is cave. C-A-V-E, cave. And that describes where Lot was now dwelling. Think about this. Here's this man who has a great flocks and great herds and great riches. He said, I want to make more. I want to put my stakes in deeper right here. And the last end of Lot is now that he has lost everything. And he's dwelling in a cave. He walked by sight. Thank God we have the New Testament to tell us that Lot was a righteous man who vexed his soul daily. And yet the consequences of Lot's sin are so obvious, aren't they? When you just look at those words. So the Bible contrasts faith and sight. It's not just saying, here are two choices, one of them, they're equal choices. It's saying, sight will kill you. I'm calling you to walk in faith. Now, that's faith. That's the how of faith. Let me just repeat it again. The how of faith is that you are casting, is that you are walking, giving up self-reliance, self-control, self-sufficiency, and you are you're giving up self-reliance, self-control, self-sufficiency, and you're walking with on a foundation of something that you cannot see, and not just something that you cannot see, but something that does not make sense to your natural senses. That's important to understand. If you're going to walk by faith, you're going to walk in a way that is not logical to your natural senses. It was not logical for Abraham to say, Lot, you get the first choice. It was not logical for Abraham to say, you know what, I'm going to pitch my tent towards Sodom. That was not logical. Logic, natural sense will tell you, you look out for you. You do the best you can to take care of you. Your whole design, your whole goal in life is to make yourself accede to the highest level possible. That's sight. And God says, faith is different. Faith gives up control. Faith gives up ambition for the glory of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, how long? How long? This is where I believe we struggle. How long? Now, the story of Abraham, he's a father of the faithful. The story of Abraham has two... Let me just back up just for a moment. I want to answer the question, how long and who, kind of together, okay? So, faith is walking based upon evidence that cannot be seen, on a foundation of things that cannot be seen, but faith is not blind. So the question is, what is faith in? Or is there anything solid to base our walk of faith on? And the story of Abraham answers this question with two different stories. Okay? So is there anything solid? Preacher, you're telling us we're supposed to walk by faith. Something we cannot see. So is there anything solid to base our faith on? And Scripture gives us two stories to explain this. The stories are, number one, the birth of Isaac, and then the death of Isaac, or the supposed death of Isaac. Turn to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at this. Romans chapter 4. And the question we're answering is how long? How long and who? Who is this faith based upon? Is there anything solid to base faith on? And the reason that I want to really emphasize how long is because I think this is where our greatest struggle is in life. The very nature of faith. Why does God require faith? Why does God give faith? In other words, why couldn't God just have saved us and then zapped us to heaven? Right? And that's the plan anyway, right? The plan ultimately is for God to take His people to heaven. for us to see Him. If we glorify God better by praising Him for all His worth, right? I mean, ultimately, heaven is there are no more sinful temptations. You know, you'll never ever again get distracted in the song service. This morning, I couldn't really sing. My voice is just gone this week. And so I wanted to sing. I love to sing the songs in worship service. I love worship. I couldn't sing. And I caught myself unable to sing, just struggling, getting distracted in my thoughts. The glory of heaven is that we will never get distracted again in the song service, right? Never be tempted by sin. So if we will glorify God better by being in heaven, why wouldn't God just take us right to heaven? What's the point of faith? The point of faith, friends, is that God would seek to glorify Himself by stripping us of every last vestige, every last hint of self-reliance. Because self-reliance opposes itself against God. And faith relies upon God. So faith is meant to strip us of all of our strength and all of our ingenuity and all of our ability that we might find all of those things in God. That His strength might be made perfect in my weakness. And so a life of faith just manifests that you're weak, you're weak, you're weak, you're weak, and He's strong. In order that you might stop depending upon your own strength. In order that you might not get up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I can do this today. In order that you might get up in the morning and say, oh my word, I'm going to fail miserably unless I grab a hold of God. And so really faith is not just this strong Christian that is flexing his Christian muscles. No, faith is latching on to God and holding on for dear life. And as your hands are becoming sweaty and you're losing your grip, God enables you to not let go. He grabs hold of you then. That's faith. So that's only worked out over the long haul. And so the story of Abraham is an important story because his one big act of faith was in relation to the birth of his son. And this took place over a period of 50 or 60 or 70 years. What was God's promise to Abraham? You will be, let's read this, Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, children, in order to be a father of many nations, what must you be? If you're going to be a father of many nations, you must be a, starts with an F, father, right? And this is the whole deal. God has promised him, you will be a father of many nations. There's one big problem. Abraham is not a father. So you go through the normal years of childbearing, and you're still not a father. And God has told you, you will be a father, but you're not a father. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. I have made thee. That's past tense, right? I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed. Abraham believed God. Now here's where we go to the who. Is there anything solid to base your faith upon, child of God? And here's the answer. Yes, there is. Who is it that Abraham believed? There are really two thoughts I want to share here. What did Abraham believe? Number one, Abraham believed in God. Just God is God. Remember Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So listen to this. Listen to these words. I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, who did he believe? Even God. And what did he say about God? Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Listen to that phrase. What is God? Who is God? Well, God is one who quickens the dead. That means gives life to the dead. And God is one who calleth those things which aren't as though they were. He calleth those things that don't exist as though they did exist, and then they exist. That's incredible. You know, have you ever been around somebody who likes to predict things? I tell you, it's going to rain tomorrow. Fill in my bones. And 78% of the time they're wrong. Right? And Abraham's saying, God's not like that. I'm telling you, God speaks things that don't exist anywhere, and they exist. I wonder if Abraham here is referring to the creation. Think about the creation for a minute, friends. God says, this is my paraphrase, I want some light. And if anybody was there, they'd say, well, what's that? We don't have any light. What is that? God calls those things which be not as though they were, and they are. So God says, let there be light. There is no light, but light suddenly appears. God says, let there be fowl of the air. Where's the air? Where's the fowl? And suddenly, there's fowl of the air. God calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, think about this in relation to your life. We've been studying recently justification. That we are righteous. Sinners are righteous in the sight of God based upon God reckoning Christ's righteousness to us and our sinfulness to Him. And you look at yourself and you go, I am not righteous. I'm full of sin. I'm full of iniquity. But God calls those things which be not as though they were. God says, I have given you my own begotten Son's righteousness. And so we rest in His justification, right? So Abraham comes to God. And he's face to face with God. And God says, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was God's word. Abraham doesn't have a son. And yet he believes God because God calls those things which be not as though they were. So what is Abraham's faith based in? Abraham's faith is based in the person and the character of God. But more than that, let's keep reading. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice that phrase, against hope believed in hope. In other words, what that's saying is Abraham, there is no hope. There is no human hope. There is no logical hope. There is no natural hope for you to have a son. You're way past child-rearing age. Sarah is way past child-bearing age. You are without hope. Abraham says, okay, well, against that hope, outside of that hope, I believe in hope. Why? Is this a vain wish, positive thinking? Was Abraham one who would say, you know what, I'm going to go jump off a cliff because I'm a man full of hope? No. If Abraham was standing on the edge of a cliff, Abraham would step back. And yet, Abraham walked in hope when there was no hope. You see what I'm getting at here, friends? Faith is not reckless. Faith is not just living irresponsibly. Faith is based on something more settled, more sure, although it's blind, more sure than just a hope against hope that things will work out. Just hope things will work out. I'm a positive thinker. That's not what it is. What was Abraham's faith in? Abraham's faith was in God's character, and Abraham's faith was in God's word, God's promise. And that's the key that you need to understand. Look at verse 21, Romans 4. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Child of God, listen to me right now. Your faith must stand in what God has actually said. Your faith must stand in what God has promised. Now, I don't have time this morning. I really wanted to. I don't have time this morning to go and look at some of God's promises. Let me just give you one. Romans 8:32. If he spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And I share that verse with you for this reason. Where, to whom, where are you looking for the things that you know you stand in need of? God's promise, friends, is that I, through Jesus Christ, will provide all the things that you stand in need of. I will provide the consolation. I will provide the comfort. I will provide the strength to obey. I will provide, if you seek my kingdom first, I will provide all your natural needs. Where and to whom are you looking to provide your fulfillment, your satisfaction, all the things that you know you stand in need of? The great struggle, because it's a long struggle, right? Listen, this is a long-term struggle Abraham lived with. And the great struggle is to begin to trust in sight and to look somewhere besides God and His promises to provide. But Abraham was persuaded. He was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Praise God for that. The who of faith, it's God and His promises. A God who is able to call things which be not as though they were. Abraham, you're a father of many nations. I'm not a father, God. Abraham, you're a father of many nations. As that, from your seed, Abraham, will come the greatest blessing upon this earth that's ever been. I don't have a seed, God. I don't have one. Abraham, you are a father of many nations. I can call things which be not as though they were. And so Abraham, against hope, believed in hope because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, what God had said, God would do. Are you persuaded that way, friend? I was talking to Brother Reggie this morning, just talking about how important it is for us to encourage one another in faith. You see, friends, faith is hard, isn't it? Against hope, believe in hope. Walk by faith. Even those very words spotlight the struggle, don't they? How we should encourage one another to continue to look to God and to His promises. Well, let me just give you one more thought on the nature of faith. I want you to get this. This is important. This is where I hope you'll be encouraged. In Romans 4, verse 20, it says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Turn to Genesis chapter 17 for a moment. Those are some strong words in Romans 4, aren't they? Staggered not, fully persuaded. And all of a sudden in your mind's eye, you can see Abraham was this swelling giant of faith, right? These faith muscles just rippling off his body. Is that how you see Abraham? Well, it's not how the Bible presents him. And I'm thankful for that. And you ought to be too. Abraham staggered not in unbelief. Let me read for you. Well, let me just tell you, first of all, what happens in Genesis 16. Much prior to this, God had said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Abraham goes through a long period of time and they have no child. You come to Genesis 16 and Sarah says, Abraham, just take my maid. Take Hagar. It's hopeless. It's not going to work out for us. Take her, and at least you'll be able to carry on your line through Hagar. And Abraham takes Hagar. And from this union with Hagar comes Ishmael. And from Ishmael comes all the conflicts that we see in our world even today, right? Never-ending conflict. Abraham disobeyed God.
God had never said, Abraham, this child's going to come through Hagar. Abraham says, this child's going to come through Sarah. So Abraham sins. Genesis 17. God comes back to Abraham. He commands Abraham to be circumcised. And his seed to be circumcised. And then God says in verse 15 of Genesis 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Listen to this. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Notice verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. I love that portion of Scripture being in the Bible. Do you remember what God criticized Sarah for? Remember? For laughing, right? So before we had the contrast of Abraham and Lot in faith, and now we have the contrast of Abraham and Sarah in faith. Abraham walks by faith, Sarah walks by sight, at least in this one particular part. But they both do the same thing. They both laugh incredulously. Abraham, listen, Romans 4 says Abraham didn't stagger. Genesis 17 says Abraham fell on the ground. Are these contradictory passages? No. Abraham falls on the ground laughing. Sarah laughs. God criticizes Sarah, doesn't criticize Abraham. What's the difference? Here's the difference, friends. Abraham was open and honest and real before God. Abraham fell out laughing right in front of God and said, God, how can this be? Sarah laughs in private, and then when God confronts her, Sarah denies, I didn't laugh. You see, Sarah was trying to be strong in herself. I am not lacking God. Abraham is just open before God. And God, I just, how can it be? What's the difference? The difference is, friends, our faith is not of ourselves. Our strength is not of ourselves. It is from God. And so Abraham is just real, if you don't mind that term. Abraham is just real and genuine and authentic before God. Thank God, I don't know how this can happen. But Abraham then obeyed. He went and he was circumcised, and he had his son circumcised, Ishmael, and the serpent circumcised, Abraham, even though he didn't understand how it could possibly come to pass, he obeyed God. So if you want a definition of not staggering, staggering not means that you continue to obey even when you don't understand. Staggering not means that you continue following God even though you see no hope and no way of God's promises coming to fruition. Staggering not means you're latching on to God and you will not let go. I am so thankful for that passage. And you ought to be as well. Because friends, you are as weak as Abraham, but your faith is as strong as Abraham's faith, because God is the author and the inditer and the continuer and the refresher and the encourager and the finisher of your faith. Praise God for that. And so in closing, let me just say this. Genesis 22 tells us the next great story of Abraham's faith. And I think what you see here in Genesis 22 is you see a faith that has been strengthened, that has been developed, that has matured over time, as Abraham has built his life upon God and his promises, and he has seen God prove faithful and true to his promises. So Genesis 22 is the story of Abraham and Isaac going up to the mountain. We don't have time to read this right now, but let me just tell you a few things that he says. God had told Abraham, take now thy son. And then God just emphasized what he was doing, thine only son, Isaac. And offer him there for a burnt offering. And it says, Abraham arose very early the next morning. What do you see here, friends? You see no hesitation. Again, Abraham doesn't understand what's happening. God, you gave me this son. This is the promised son. This is my only begotten son. And this is the son that you told me that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. My son is not a father yet. My son is too young to be a father. And your promise is that from this son, not the mother's son, but this son, that the promise will come of nations being blessed and born. And now, God, you have told me to take my only son and to take him to this altar and to offer him there as a sacrifice to you. So Abraham does that very thing. And Hebrews 11 tells us how he did that. Hebrews 11 verse 18 says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham knew that God had said, your seed will be called through Isaac. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. When Abraham and Isaac got to the mountain, Abraham left the servants behind and he said, we're going to go up, we're going to worship God, and then we are going to come back. Now, Abraham knew something that Isaac didn't know, and Abraham knew something that the servants didn't know. What did he know? He knew that God had said, you go up there and you offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And yet he told them, we're going to go up, we're going to worship, and we're going to come back. What's going on here? What's going on here is that Abraham was well acquainted and he was fully persuaded of God's promises to him. He knew that God would not renege on his word. So he knew that somehow God was going to send Abraham and Isaac down from the mountain, even if he plunged his knife into Abraham and Isaac's side. Somehow, we're both coming down. Either God will provide a substitute, which he did, or God will raise him from the dead, but we are both coming down from this mountain. Friends, faith is far superior to sight. Let me encourage you, don't put faith in faith. In other words, don't just put faith in a hope, in a vain hope and a vain wish. Something that you hope will turn out. Don't build your life disobeying God, but just saying, it's all going to work out because I have faith. No, build your life based upon what God, upon the character of God and what God has actually said to you. Open the Word of God. I love the promises of God. Romans 6, great promises of God to those who are caught in sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's a promise of God. Walk in believing that promise. I will provide all your needs. The promise of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a glorious faith that God gave Abraham. May we walk in faith as well. The how of faith is that we are going to be walking on something that we cannot see, but it is sure to us because we know the who. We know the God, and we know His promises. Get into His Word. The how long of faith is also understood. This occurs over a lifetime. In other words, you got to dig in, and you got to just set yourself that you will live a life of waiting, resting, waiting, hoping, depending upon God, of latching on for dear life. You see, I think the how long is so important because we think that we just grab hold of God for a minute, it's all going to get fixed, it's all going to be better, and all of our worries will go away, and we get this illusion because it doesn't work out that way. Friends, faith is meant life is meant to strip you of all your self-reliance, that you might find in Him a much more perfect strength. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you in your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.